Listeners like you make living on Earth possible each week. Please contribute today by clicking on the donate link to the left of the page. And thanks.
It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwin. Throughout the presidential campaign, Living on Earth has been examining the energy and global warming policies of the candidates. Today, we turn to Republican and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. Living on Earth's Bruce Gellerman went on the campaign trail with Governor Romney during the recent New Hampshire primary and has this report.
By his own count, Mitt Romney made hundreds of campaign appearances in New Hampshire.
How are you doing, sir? Glad to see you this morning.
Most were of the meet and greet variety, like this one at Norton's Classic Restaurant in Nashua, where you can sit in a blue and pink booth fashioned out of a 1950s T-Bird.
Say hello. How are you doing?
Hey. How are you?
With reporters and photographers in tow, Romney makes the rounds.
Well, there are a couple things. One is, my view is that families ought to be able to save their money tax-free.
At this stop, just two people were interested in talking about the environment. 8-year-old Nick Gage and his dad, Kevin. Nick just finished a school report on global warming.
Well, I learned that if we don't save the polar bears and, like, put them in a colder place, they'll probably die off.
So how important is global warming for you?
I think global warming is an important issue. It's not number one on my list. We actually just bought a car, but we couldn't afford to get into a hybrid, which was really kind of stinky. But with kids, I mean, we couldn't do the Prius because, it's, you know, you couldn't do it.
Likewise, for Mitt Romney, global warming isn't so much an environmental issue as an economic and national security issue. Here he's answering a question at one of his Ask Mitt Anything meetings in Hudson, New Hampshire.
I believe the planet's getting warmer, and I believe that human activity is contributing to the planet getting warmer. I'm not a scientist, so I don't know how much is human and how much is due to other cyclical factors we don't understand. I just don't know. But I do know this. We can reduce the impact of human activity by reducing our emissions of greenhouse gases. And the best way I know to do that is to put us on a track to become energy independent of foreign oil. Because getting us to do that would mean less use of oil and more use of liquefied coal where you sequester the CO2, nuclear, solar, wind power, biodiesel, biofuel, ethanol, cellulosic ethanol, and more efficient vehicles and homes and businesses. You do those things, our greenhouse gas emissions come down a lot.
Romney calls his position on climate change his no-regrets policy. He says whether or not human activity is contributing to climate change by becoming energy independent will save money and bolster national security.
We use too much foreign oil. We send about $1 billion a day now out of our country to go buy oil from other people. That billion a day could be invested here, but instead it's going out there to Ahmadinejad and Chavez and Putin and others, some of whom use it against us.
Romney supports drilling for oil in ANWR, the Alaska National Wildlife Reserve, and in offshore coastal waters, but not near Florida. And he opposes the Kyoto Climate Accord because it doesn't require developing countries to cap their climate-changing emissions. Romney is for improving the efficiency of automobiles, but opposes mandates requiring car makers to increase gas mileage. He wants to recycle nuclear waste, but is waiting for the latest scientific studies before taking a position on the controversial Yucca Mountain nuclear waste site in Nevada. Energy independence is Romney's highest domestic economic priority, so he's proposing a program on the size and scale of the Apollo Moon Project. Here he is in the last New Hampshire debate from ABC News, Facebook, and WMUR-TV.
This is not something that's going to get solved in 10 years. We can't become energy independent in 10 years, but we can get ourselves on a track to do that. It's going to require a far more substantial investment by our nation in energy technology. Right now, we spend about $4 billion a year on new sources of energy and energy efficiency. We're going to have to increase that dramatically.
On the campaign trail, Romney is a consummate politician. Hand outstretched, sporting a smile with a quick wit and a ready quip. He's fond of quoting Yogi Berra.
Can I have a good breakfast? It's a little crowded in here now. I'm told. And what is it Yogi Berra said, which is, he said the place is so crowded no one goes there anymore. Remember that? Yeah.
If Yogi Berra were a reporter trying to learn about Romney's environmental record, he might say, you can learn a lot about history by studying the past. So I found people familiar with Mitt Romney's environmental record when he was governor of Massachusetts. Sonia Hamill worked as a senior official in various state environmental offices for 25 years under 7 governors.
Actually, Governor Romney is a wonderful manager. He was a very metrics-oriented manager, and I think he was good at that.
Romney managed the governor's office like the businessman he was and won praise from environmentalists for filing first-in-the-nation legislation to protect coastal waters. He signed a bill phasing out mercury in consumer products and brokered a deal to clean up the state's dirtiest power plants. Romney even weather-stripped the windows in his home, saving $128 a year on his heating bill. But he got the highest praise for creating a new cabinet position overseeing energy, transportation, housing, and the environment, and appointing the president of the Conservation Law Foundation, an ardent environmental advocate, as its head. The move pleased George Bacharach, president of the Environmental League of Massachusetts and a former Democratic state senator.
I think many of us in the state were excited by Mitt Romney. We may not have agreed with him on issues. He may not have been our cup of tea in many ways, but we were impressed by a degree of intellect, entrepreneurial spirit, reform-minded, fresh set of eyes. And I think many of us were greatly disappointed when he became something else.
Critics say the transformation of Mitt Romney took a few years. Romney, who said he supported wind power, joined forces with opponents, including Ted Kennedy, against a wind project off Cape Cod. He cut the state's environmental budget and spending on parks and land preservation. Then, 3 years into his term, he stunned environmentalists when he pulled Massachusetts out of an historic pact of Northeast states called the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, or REGGIE. A first of its kind in the nation, it was the brainchild of New York Republican Governor George Pataki, designed as a market-driven system to control CO2 emissions from businesses. Sonia Hamill was Massachusetts' chief architect of REGGIE.
In my 25 years of doing program development in state government, I never had been involved in a project that was as well analyzed and as well modeled as REGGIE. We spent 3 years designing it and had a great deal of certainty that price increases would be extremely modest, probably on the order of 2 or 3%, and that actually if we did good work on energy efficiency, we could reduce that to having no price increase.
Romney had wholeheartedly supported the regional curb on greenhouse gases. In November of 2005, he said, quote, "This is a great thing for the Commonwealth. I'm convinced it's good for business." Then suddenly, just a month later, on the same day he announced he wasn't seeking re-election, Governor Romney said he was withdrawing from REGGIE. Here's Romney explaining his change of heart on New Hampshire Public Radio's program, The Exchange.
I had literally one of our largest employers tell me they would not build another facility in our state if we signed the bill as it was without a cap. And so I insisted that the other parties put a cap in. The other states would not. And I said, very simple, if the other states are not going to allow us to have a cap, I can't sign it.
Again, Sonia Hamill, the Massachusetts official who negotiated the greenhouse agreement.
I was personally really surprised and disappointed because we had done our homework on that program and it was designed very cautiously. So, yes, it was a terrible disappointment to me.
So what happened? What changed?
I can't tell you exactly. I wish I could look into the mind of Governor Romney when he was making these decisions, but he faltered in terms of making the decision. I think that he listened a lot to scare tactics. I don't know.
The upcoming Michigan primary could be the make-or-break vote for Mitt Romney. The role his environmental record and platform will play won't be known till the votes are analyzed. Or as Yogi Berra would say, it ain't over till it's over. For Living on Earth, I'm Bruce Gellerman.